يصلح بينهما فإن بغت إحداهما على الأخرى فقاتل التي تبغي حتى تفيء إلى أمر الله فإن فاءت فأصلحوا بينهما بالعدل وأقسطوا إن الله يحب المقسطين. So as I was mentioning in Surah Al-Hujurat, in the very beginning of Surah Al-Hujurat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught us a few adab, etiquettes that we should show to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Here now he speaks to us about adabs that we should inculcate and we should implement when we live among ourselves as believers. So Allah says, وَإِن طَائِفَتَانِ مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ اَقْتَتَلُوا. If two parties from among the believers, they fight among themselves, or they dispute among themselves, or they argue among themselves, then what is the law of Allah regarding that? فَأَصْلِحُوا بَيْنَهُمَا. Then make peace between them. If at any point in time, two parties of Muslims find themselves fighting each other, dispute, quarrel, argument, whatever it might be, then the law of Allah is that we should not take sides. The law of Allah is that we should not join one side and strengthen one side against the other side. Whether it is in an Islamic country or a non-Islamic country, Allah's law is for aslihu baynahuma, make sulh, and make peace between them. So how do that? You speak to each party. The Muslims should speak to each party who are fighting among themselves. Boy, we are Muslims, we should not fight amongst each other. Now Allah says, فَإِن بَغَتْ إِحْدَاهُمَا عَلَى الْآخَرِ عَلَى الْأُخْرَى. If one of the both transgresses upon the other one, فَقَاتِلُ الَّتِي تَبَغِي, then fight those people who have transgressed. حَتَّى تَفِيءَ إِلَىٰ أَمْرِ اللَّهِ, until they comply with the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَإِنْ فَأَتْ, if they comply, فَأَصْلِحُوا بَيْنَهُمَا, then make a peaceful resolution between them, make peace between them, بِالْعَدْلِ, with justice, وَأَقْسِطُوا, and deal fair with them, إِنَّ اللَّهُ يُحِبُّ الْمُقْسِطِينَ, certainly Allah loves those people who are just and fair to others. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that whenever, if there is an amir or an imam or a hakim, let's say people are living in an Islamic country, and under that Islamic state you have two parties of the Muslims fighting against each other, then in that case it is necessary that the hakim or the sultan should send people to speak to both sides. He should send people to speak to both sides. If these people are fighting because they have some grudge against the hakim and the imam or the leader of the Muslim state, then it is stated that the Islamic ruler should at least give them a hearing and see what is their problem. Now whatever the problem might be, it is in the hands of the hakim and the sultan or the king or the amir to deal with that issue. This is why it is mentioned that if people fight against the Islamic state and their fight is a just fight, that really the people who are in charge and who are in the leadership position in an Islamic state, they are transgressors, they are zalim, they are taking the wealth and the property of people, and they are being unjust to others, like they are killing innocent believers, then in a case like that, if it is proven that people who are fighting the Islamic state has a just cause, then it is essential that the Muslims should join those people in their fight against the government. We are speaking about the Islamic state. It is imperative now that the Muslims, why? Because fighting against that is fighting against zulm and oppression. It is fighting against anti-Islam. So in the past, we had many people in the Islamic state, people who were rulers, and they were amirs, they were khalifa, they were kings. However, they were very, very unjust to the Muslims. They used to kill the Muslims. They were very unjust. So if at any time the Muslims were to fight against those people, Then after understanding the nature of the fight, yes, it is permissible to fight with those people. Fight, you know, with them against the government. But generally speaking, whenever Muslims fight amongst themselves, this is the next law we have spoken about now. If the Islamic State or the Amir or the Khalifa, he is doing the people any wrong things, then therefore the people should fight against him until they will clean the Islamic State of the wrong things that have been done. But generally speaking, when two parties of the Muslims fight each other, whether they are Muslim countries or whether they are people living under a non-Islamic government fighting among themselves, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us what we should do. That if at any time two parties of the Muslims fight against each other, then the outside Muslims should be the one to make sulah and peace between them. Don't get into the fight, make sulah, make peace between them. The second stage is that if both of them do not listen, each one have their own agenda and they do not want to listen, then the Islamic law is that must you refrain from that. Do not get your hands messed up in this fight now. Because they are fighting each other. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that a time will come when a man will fight another person, he will kill the other person, and then both of them will be in Jahannam. Al-Qatilu wal-Maqtulu fi an-Nar. And it did happen during the time of Ali radiallahu ta'ala, when one person took out his sword and he was walking the street and he was going to help one person, Ali radiallahu ta'ala. And the battle was among the Sahabas. The Sahabas, you know, at that time, because of some misunderstanding, there were two fights that took place. One is the Battle of Siffin and the Battle of Jamal, early Islamic history. And one Sahabi saw him with his sword drawn, he was going on the street, and he told the person, he said, "Where are you off to?" He said, "Ansuru haza rajul, I'm going to help this man." So the person says, "Wait, listen carefully. I have heard the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, al-qatilu wal-maqtulu fi an-nar, that whenever two Muslims draw their swords against each other and one kill the other one, then the both of them will be in Jahannam." The person said, who heard the hadith, the Sahabi said, "O Prophet of Allah, we know about the murderer. He will be in Jahannam. Why? Because he murdered his brother. But what about the murdered one? What wrong did he do? Because he was murdered and killed." The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, this person was haris. He was eager to kill his brother. And it so happened that his brother killed him before he had the chance to kill him. So because of the fact that both of them had the same intention, they will be in the fire of hell to kill each other. So the Islamic law and the etiquettes of that is that whenever both of them do not want to listen, so two parties of Muslim, whether they are two Muslim individual Muslims or two jamaats or two groups in the same jamaat, they are fighting with respect to our, you know, the way we live, there is no Islamic state, then other Muslims should not join the fight. And other Muslims should not take one side, you know, against the other side. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions how we should operate here. The first and foremost thing is speak to both parties, let them make peace among themselves. Now Allah says, a bit further, فَإِن بَغَتْ إِحْدَاهُمَا عَلَى الْأُخْرَى. If one of them transgresses upon the other one, now you spoke to both parties. One party wants to listen to you and say, okay, I will drop my weapons and I will become silent and I will cooperate. So he says, I don't want to fight anymore. He's my brother, so I want to, you know, live as brothers. But the other one now transgresses against the law of Allah. The other party does not want to do what? Make sulah. And they do not want to make a peaceful resolution. Allah says, as for that party who does not want to stop fighting, he says, فَقَاتِلُ الَّتِي تَبَغِي. Then fight against the group that is transgressive. The party that does not want to put down their weapons and the party who wants to continue to fight, then they are transgressing against the law of Allah. Because the law of Allah is that, listen, come to some peaceful settlement, an agreement, see where you can work out things. So if one accepts, becomes silent, the other one wants to fight, Allah says, you fight them. So what you will have to do now is, join this people to fight those people. Now you will have to fight them until what time? Hatta tafi'a ila amrillah, until they comply with the law of Allah. Continue to fight them. Continue to fight them until they comply with the law of Allah. And then in that case, they will be treated as rebels in an Islamic state. And the law of rebels, which is known as Baghi, those people who do Baghawat, Baghawat, those people who rebel against the Islamic law, and they are known as Baghi, the rebels. The law about them is that you should capture all of them as prisoners. And you shall take all your property and take all your weapons. And until they won't stop and make tawbah, you won't give it back to them. So, with rebels, there is a different law because rebelliousness will come from them. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, then fight with them until they comply with the law of Allah. فَإِنْ فَاءَتْ. Now if they comply, after some time they comply with the law of Allah, فَأَصْلِحُوا بَيْنَهُمَا بِالْعَدْلِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, then make sulh and make peace between them in justice. That it is not that now you are going to find them, and after attacking them, now they have given up and say, okay, we are going to comply. Now you are going to take advantage of them and say, well, because you people did not listen to us in the first case, you are going to take advantage of them. Allah says, no. فَأَصْلِحُوا بَيْنَهُمَا. Then make peace between them, بِالْعَدْلِ, in justice. وَأَقْسِطُوا, and be fair with them. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الْمُقْسِطِينَ. For Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves those people who deal fairly with other people. So therefore, it's a situation where the first party may have stopped fighting and the other party wanted to fight. So because of the fact that they did not listen to the Muslims before, the Muslims want to be advantageous on them, take away their property, take away their wealth, make their family members prisoners. Allah says no. فَأَصْلِحُوا بَيْنَهُمَا بِالْعَدْلِ. Then treat them justly. And the reason that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says adl, injustice, means that in a case where two parties are fighting each other, let's say in an Islamic state, two parties are fighting each other, and one party complies with the law of Allah and says, listen, we are not going to fight. But the other group continues to fight. Then while they continue to fight, you will have those people who would have been killed by their continuous fighting. They will have killed other people from among the Muslims. So by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying, then deal peacefully amongst them. Make peace among them. But the peace you are going to make among them, it will be with adl, with justice. It means now you will have to take qisas for the lives they have taken now. While they continue to fight, you will have to implement the law of qisas, a life for a life. In this case, so if any one of them had killed another person when they were not supposed to fight, qisas will be taken, his life will be taken against that, or the blood money can be taken. This is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, wa aqsitu, and they fear, because it is unjust that if one party puts down their weapons and says, okay, we are not fighting and we are going to comply with the law of Allah, and the other party continues to fight, and then they may have shot many people there, killed many people, and then you say, okay boys, put down your weapon, alright, put down your weapon, O Muslims. And then when they put down your weapon, you say, okay, that is equal, that is injustice. The question is, they have put down their weapons now, but what will you do about those people whom they have killed? Where is the justice there now? Will they kill people and get away with it? And say, okay, we have put down our weapons now, placed down our weapons, so now we are making sulh, and we are making peace. No, peace will be made, but Allah says it will be done in this case with justice, so therefore the law of qisas must take place. If they have wounded anyone, because the fight is an illegal fight. The fight is a haram fight, because Muslims cannot fight against each other. So therefore whatever harms they may have caused, whosoever they may have wounded, whosoever they may have killed, then the Sharia, the law of Islam, will avenge that by either implementing the law of qisas, or if they agree, the guardians of the murdered people, they can sucker for a blood money, which is called the diyat, that they will take the money instead of killing the life. Inna Allah yuhibbul muqsitin. Certainly Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves those who do fear unjust. So whether we are in Islamic state or whether we are not in an Islamic state, the law that is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala regarding the adab and the etiquettes we should live with is that at any point in time, people among Muslims, because this law is about believers, that when Muslims fight among themselves or dispute, thus do not go about taking one side. Do not jump into it because a person is related to you or something like that, or because you have some enmity or grudge against the other person. Thus, make sulha between both of them. Always encourage peace. No matter how grave it might be, always encourage peace. Why should we encourage peace? Why should we? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us to go to the extent that if one party transgresses, then fight against that party until they comply with the law of Allah. It means as long as they do not comply with the law of Allah, we must fight against those people. That is the law of Allah. Why? Because innama al-mu'minuna ikhwa, because all believers are brothers, and Allah does not want you to fight amongst yourself. So therefore, if this party is fighting your brothers and they don't want to stop, then they are affecting the love and the brotherhood Allah has placed about the mu'minin. Then you will have to fight that element that is destroying that brotherhood. So look at the different ways. One is that we make peace, and if one party listens and the other one party doesn't listen, find those people who do not listen. If both of them do not listen, leave them. Do not get tied up with that. Because then Muslims may be mixing or messing up their hands in dirty works. Because therefore, thereafter, if one party of the Muslims kill another party, then they are accountable to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is haram to kill a believer. And Muslims could never go at war against each other. So you cannot say, I kill a believer in jihad. You could never say that, because they cannot go to jihad together. Jihad is only between Muslims and non-Muslims. So Allah says the reason that He has given us these laws, that as far as possible, حَتَّى الْإِمْكَانِ, as far as possible, we should try to make a peaceful resolution. We should try to make them reconcile with each other. It is because of the fact that innama al-mu'minuna ikhwatun. Certainly, the believers are brothers. And since they are brothers, Allah is telling us, فَأَصْلِحُوا بَيْنَ أَخَوَيْكُمْ. Make sulha and make peace between your brothers. Do not make enmity among your brothers. Do not go with one against the other one. No, you are all brothers. فَأَصْلِحُوا بَيْنَ أَخَوَيْكُمْ. Make sulha. And look at the beautiful sequence and tertib of the ayah, that Allah is saying all believers are brothers, and because we are in one brotherhood, we should never ever do anything to destroy that brotherhood. And if anything is to happen, فَأَصْلِحُوا بَيْنَ أَخَوَيْكُمْ, but so you make peace. Because as human beings we are weak, and things will happen now and again, a little anger here, a little knick-knack here, a little this here, a little that there. What should we do? Allah says, فَأَصْلِحُوا بَيْنَ أَخَوَيْكُمْ, but make peace among your brothers. وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهُ, and fear Allah. Fear Allah. لَعَلَّكُمْ تُرْحَمُونَ, so that Allah may have mercy upon you. Fear Allah in this matter, because sometimes it is not an easy thing, because a human being will practice upon his nafs plenty. And many times someone does something, we become angry and we react in a certain manner. And sometimes it is said to us, make peace, and we say, we will never make peace, or I will never speak to him again. Or sisters will say, I will never speak to that sister again. But that is not the law of Allah. This is why Allah says, وَتَقُلَّهَا, in this matter, fear Allah. Don't fear your own self. Don't look towards your carnal desires and look what you want. No, وَتَقُلَّهَا, fear Allah in this matter. Because the brotherhood is not something which was brought about by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It is something which was made by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is why Allah announces, innama al-mu'minuna ikhwatun, all believers are brothers. And He orders us, فَأَصْلِحُوا بَيْنَ أَخَوَيْكُمْ, then you should make peace. Because this is what brothers are for. Just as blood brothers growing up, they will continue to have the tendency, even though there is a knick-knack, they'll say, but after all, we are one brother. We are one brotherhood. After all, we have the same mother and same father. Why are we fighting against each other? We grew up in the same house. We, you know, ate together in one plate. We are brothers. So the consciousness of brothers not fighting among themselves, it is there. So it's the same thing concept we should have. After all, by we are all the children of Adam. Our father is one Adam. Our mother is one Hawa. Our Quran, our book is one. Our Nabi is one. Allah is one. Our place of coming is one. And we have to try to go to the same one place, Jannah. So why are we fighting? وَتَقُوا اللَّهُ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُرْحَمُونَ. And you fear Allah and implement the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with respect to the aqwat of Islam, the brotherhood of Islam. Then Allah's mercy will come upon us. Now look at some of these ayat now. Allah says to the believers, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا يَسْخَرَ قَوْمٌ مِّن قَوْمٍ عَسَىٰ أَن يَكُونُوا خَيْرًا مِّنْهُمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us certain laws now. And in all, from this ayat, there are six prohibitions Allah gives to us. And if we look at these prohibitions, from the beginning of the surah, we will realize there are certain laws for all Islam on different levels. Because as I mentioned in the beginning, this surah teaches us about Islah, making our Islah, bettering ourselves. So before, the first set of laws that came was respect to the hukuk and the adab of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The right that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had upon us, and adab and the etiquettes. After that, we had hukuk and adab for general Muslims, how we should behave, you know, generally with Muslims. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us another type of laws that deals with jamaat level, community level, society level. That is when two people dispute among themselves. Thus, you don't try to get into that by adding strength to one side against the other side. You, as the outsider, you should try to make peace among them. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks to us about hukuk and adab among our own selves, individually. Individually. That was a law based on a jamaat level. So therefore, two big groups fighting among themselves, the third group comes in, makes peace. But sometimes it happens between individuals living in the community, there are certain things you have to take into consideration. There are certain things, in order to maintain this brotherhood which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke to us about, there are certain things that needs to be there. And there are certain things must be removed, which must be removed. For as long as those ailments or those negative things are there, then the brotherhood cannot be maintained. In other words, as long as you have certain vices existent amongst people, then brotherhood, it is difficult. Even family units, sometimes certain elements must be taken away so that the success of family life, harmony, peace, unity can carry on. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions to us about certain hukuk, rights, and certain adab on an individual level. And he mentions under this first ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, there are two ya ayyuhalladhina amanu here coming one after the other, but under this first heading of ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, he mentions that there are three things that are forbidden. And we realize why they are forbidden. One, Allah says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, or those who believe, لَا يَسْقَرَ قَوْمٌ مِّن قَوْمٍ عَسَىٰ أَن يَكُونُوا خَيْرًا مِّنْهُمْ. Or those who believe, let not some men among you laugh at some others. Maybe it might be that these others, the latter people, are far better than the former. One. وَلَا نِسَاءٌ مِّن نِسَاءٍ. And let not some woman laugh at other women. عَسَىٰ أَن يَكُنَّ خَيْرًا مِّنْهُمْ. Perhaps the latter may be better than the former. That those who are laughed at may be better in the sight of Allah than those who were laughing. That is the first prohibition. The first prohibition is that of Sukhriya or Tamaskhur in Arabic. What does Sukhriya mean? Literally it means to laugh. To make fun of someone. To laugh down at someone. Ibn Mufassirin have mentioned That where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, لَا يَسْخَرْ قَوْمٌ مِّن قَوْمٍ, they have mentioned that to mention any fault or shortcoming of a person in order to embarrass or humiliate that person, that is يَسْخَرْ. Allah says, لَا يَسْخَرْ قَوْمٌ, let no people from among you, let no party from among you laugh at others. Let not some people from amongst you laugh at others. To mention any fault or shortcoming of a person in order to embarrass or humiliate that person, that people will laugh at him, it is called sukhri and tamaskur. And that is haram in Islam. It can occur in words, and it can occur also in actions. To do something, to give an indication with the eye, to give an indication with the tongue, or with the body, or with the hands, just that people will laugh at a certain person, that is strictly prohibited in Islam, and that falls under the prohibition where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لا يسخر قوم من قوم. And it is such a grave sin in Islam that in mentioning about it, Allah separated men from women. Normally, everyone will fall in the same law, but Allah mentioned two separate people. One, لا يسخر قوم, referring to the men. Let not some men laugh at other people. And then, وَلَا نِسَاءٌ مِّن نِسَاءٍ, and let not women laugh at other women. Because it is something that is rampant among people. And خُصُوصِيَت, speciality is given also. All the other laws are mentioned under one heading. وَاقِيمُ الصَّلَاةَ وَآتُ الزَّكَاةَ, let all the people who believers establish salat and pay the what? For you pay the tax, pay the zakat, about siyam, those who are present in the month. But here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is given the same law that no person should laugh at another person, but he mentions the two sect of people, male and female, so that it should not happen that someone can say, well, this is only for the male and it is not for the female. Nor can it happen that people will say it is only for the female and not for the male, because of the ikhtisas and because of the grave sin that is in it. Allah says, let not some men laugh at others, and also let not women laugh at other people, because it is highly possible that those people who are laughed at, they are the ones who are far better than those people who are laughing. Look at the case of Noah alayhi salam. When he started to build the ark, everyone started to laugh at Noah alayhi salam. They made a mockery out of Noah alayhi salam. No, I have never seen a boat running on sand. Where will this boat run on? But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned that those who laughed, then they are the zalim and they are the transgressors who came out the winner in the end. In fact, Noah alayhi salam was laughed at. He was the better person. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he started his mission, we very well know the persecution and the tortures that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had to go through. And then they will come to him mocking at him and say, oh Muhammad, you are speaking about your believers will get paradise that is filled with water and houses built of gold and silver. Where will these poor people get all that? But the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam remained firm. They laughed at him. They were the ones who were killed, and the azab of Allah came to them. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, La yaskar qawmun. So the believers should never find themselves doing such an act that they should laugh at other people. This is why, based on this ayat, many of the sahabas radiallahu ta'ala anhum, like Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhum, says that the severity of this ayat is so much that even if they saw something, if they saw something which made them laugh, they will refrain from laughing, so that it will not be that they are laughing at other people. For example, they said, some of them said, even if I see a man taking the milk from a goat by putting his mouth on the udders of the goat and taking it rather than milking it and then drinking it, now it's something that will, you know, bring a little laughter, that look at this person, couldn't he do better? He said, no, they said, no, we used to refrain from laughter, lest that we may fall victims of this ayat, and it is said that we are laughing at other people. They were very, very careful with respect to doing such things that this ayat could come upon them. So this is a very beautiful lesson, that no one should find themselves laughing at others. The reason people will laugh at other, one, is that we think ourselves better than them. So therefore, they may look weak, they may look struggling, they may look in our minds, we will say, but they couldn't do better. And by using or laughing at them or mocking them, then in our heart, it makes us feel better, superior, and it makes them look inferior. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, no, this is not how it's supposed to be. لَا يَسْقَرْ قَوْمٌ مِّن قَوْمٍ عَسَىٰن يَكُونُ خَيْرًا مِّنْهُمْ أَلَمَا قُرْتُنِي. And he does not look towards your wealth, but he looks towards the hearts and also the what? The a'mal and the actions. Allama Qurtubi, the great Mufassir of the Holy Quran, says, he says, based on this this hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we learn a very, very important lesson and a principle in Islam, that we should never ever look at a person and judge him by his looks. We should never ever look at a person and judge him by the looks. So therefore, we should not look at a person and make whatever he is doing make us believe that mashallah, he's a very, very great person. He's the best person, he's the most righteous and pious person. Why? Because we do not know what devil he might be in his heart. Allah can see that, not we. Allah doesn't look towards the shape outside, he looks towards the heart, the inside heart. What condition that heart is. And similarly, he says we cannot look at a person outside and feel that he's a madman, insane person. Feel that he's a madman and he's an insane person. And he looks dirty. He looks like a vagrant, and make a judgment on him. Unless he might be a wali of Allah. He might be a saint of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah looks at his heart. This is why among the people of the past, there were some of them who were so engrossed. They were so engrossed in the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We read about Mawlana Jalaluddin Rumi, the author of the very famous book, Mathnawi Sharif, and Tabriz, Shams Tabriz, very, very great people. That they used to just must walk the street. They never really meddle with other things. People will think that they are insane and they are mad. And sometimes they will be walking and other people will send other people to ask them what's the problem. And they will see if I am to explain to you the person I am in love with, you will not understand. That they became so engrossed with the love of Allah, that thus, once that love entered their hearts, nothing had any meaning for them in this world again. They will look at the world and they say, but this is, Allah says, that is going to be destroyed. But the love of Allah will never be destroyed. So with that love, sometimes they used to go mad. Not literal mad, but such madness took over those people that the other people will think that they are mad, but they are not really mad. They were totally absorbed. And they were totally engrossed in that love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that they never really care. They had no concern and care for anything on the face of the earth. So this is why Allama Qurtubi is saying, let not the apparent and the physical appearance make you make a judgment about a person. Sometimes the person, he's a righteous person. Allah looks at his heart, but you see a person looking like a vagrant, a beggar. He says that should not be the criterion to judge that person. On the other hand, a person is a very, very great person. Outside looking, he looks to be a very great person. But you do not know what is in the heart of that person. Allah judges that person. So he says, therefore, you should never bring yourself to talk down other people. You should not bring yourself to laugh down other people. And this is why it is stated that the ulama used to say, وَفِيكَ عُيُوبٌ وَلِلنَّاسِ أَعْيُنٌ وَفِيكَ عُيُوبٌ وَلِلنَّاسِ أَعْيُنٌ. He says, and within yourself there are many faults, and for people they have a lot of eyes. وَفِيكَ عُيُوبٌ وَلِلنَّاسِ أَعْيُنٌ. Within yourself there is a lot of faults and people have eyes. It means that anytime you talk about other people, let us know people have eyes and they will look at us also. This is why the elements have mentioned. He says the path of success for a human being and a believer is to stop taking his eye, take away his eyes from other people and let him put his eyes on his own self. Thus, that is the path of his success. This is why a very, very great saint in the past, he said, Pari apne buraiyo par jo nazar to jahan mein koi bura na raha. A very famous Urdu couplet. He says, when you take your eyes and put it on your own faults, you will realize no one on the face of the earth has faults. He says, Pari apne buraiyo mein jo nazar. He says, when you take your eyes and you look at your own faults, you will realize that in this world other people, they do not have any faults. So therefore it comes back to the same thing. Allah is telling us, La yaskar qawmun min qawmin. O servants, O my believers, let not some of you laugh at other people, because perhaps, maybe it is hope that those who are laughing at, they are far better than those who are laughing. Let not women laugh at others, some of them laugh at others. Asa an yakunna khayran minhunna. Maybe those, the latter people, those who are laughed at, are far better than the former, those people who are laughing at them. That is the first prohibition. And we see once a person adopts that trend of laughing at other people, how can we have the brotherhood of Islam? How can we have that love and unity? We can't have it. Allah says, the second one which is haram, وَلَا تَلْمِزُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ. Do not defame your own self. Literally it means what? Do not defame your own selves. It means do not slander your own selves. What does it mean by slandering your own self? It means that do not slander other people, because slandering other people is like slandering your own self. This is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Holy Quran, وَلَا تَقْتُلُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ. Do not kill your own selves. But no one will kill their own self. But what does he mean by that ayah? Do not kill other people, because by killing other people, it is like killing your own self. You are killing out human beings. You are killing out believers. And when you do a wrong to another person, it's like you have done the wrong to your own self. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَا تَلْمِزُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ. Do not slander your own selves, means do not slander others. And the word lamz in Arabic, lamaza yalmizu, it means to take out faults from other people. To take out faults from other people. Just looking for faults in other people and taking out the faults of other people. This is the prohibition that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَا تَلْمِزُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ. Do not slander other people. Do not take out faults from other people. وَلَا تَنَابَزُوا بِالْأَلْقَابِ. And do not call each other by offensive names. Do not call each other by offensive names. وَلَا تَنَابَزُوا بِالْأَلْقَابِ. Do not call each other by offensive names. It means to call people by such names that when they are called by such names, they feel bad about it. When you call a person by such a name and they feel bad about it, then that is the prohibition. لَا تَنَابَزُوا. You call a person, a man who has no hair on his head, you call him a bald head man. A person who is blind, he knows he's blind, but you call him, oh, blind man. He knows he's blind, but he will take offense. A person who walks, you know, let's go up and drop a little bit, cannot walk straight, you say, oh, lame man. You know, all these words, they are offensive names and they are totally prohibited in Islam. So the first prohibition, we should not laugh at other people. The other prohibition, we should not take out faults from other people. We should never do that and slander people. And the third prohibition, وَلَا تَنَابَزُوا بِالْأَلْقَابِ. And do not call people by offensive names. Calling them by such names that they themselves detest. They themselves will get angry. Allah says, بِئْسَ الْإِسْمُ الْفُسُوقُ بَعْدَ الْإِيمَانِ. How evil a name. How wicked a name after Iman. It means that after becoming a believer, you should not call a person by that name. Iman within you, or Iman in a person, it should teach him a lesson that you should not call people by names that will make a mockery of them, or that other people will laugh at, or they will become angry about. بِئْسَ الْإِسْمُ الْفُسُوقُ بَعْدَ الْإِيمَانِ. How a wicked name, how evil a name, how wicked a name after Iman. Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala says, this ayat also refers to that the act of calling or reminding a person of a sin which he committed. and he already made tawbah for that sin, and long afterwards you are still reminding him about that sin. A person may have committed a sin long ago. He may have committed theft, made tawbah to Allah, and now you are calling him, oh thief. That is also what is prohibited. This is why there is a hadith that states, the hadith is mentioned in Tafsir of Qurtubi, the hadith is that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, whosoever reminds a person, or whosoever blames a person for a sin which he had committed and already made tawbah for in the past, and now he blames him with that sin, or he accuses him of that sin, then Allah will surely put him into that sin before he dies, and Allah will humiliate him in this world and the next, in the hereafter. So therefore, if you are pinpointing that fault of that person when he already made tawbah, then Allah is going to put you on that same sin. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that in a hadith. So Allah says, وَلَا تَنَابَزُوا بِالْأَلْقَابِ, do not call each other by offensive names. بِئْسَ الْإِسْمُ الْفُسُوقُ بَعْدَ الْإِيمَانِ, how wicked a name, how evil a name after iman. It is not fitting for a person to call people by such offensive names after that person is a mu'min, after that person is a believer. Allah says, وَمَنْ لَمْ يَتُوبُ, and whosoever does not make tawbah. But if a person has done all these things, one, mocked other people to laugh at that person, or slandered another person, or called another person by offensive name, and after these things they did not make tawbah, then فَهُلَائِكَ هُمُ الظَّالِمُونَ, then they are transgressors in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَهُلَائِكَ هُمُ الظَّالِمُونَ, they are transgressors in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It means therefore that if any Muslim or any believer has committed any one of these sins, then the law of Allah, he should make tawbah. He should make tawbah to Allah and repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for having committed any one of these sins. And then inshallah, when he makes tawbah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is forgiven. But if he does not make tawbah to Allah and he continues to commit that sin, or he did not make tawbah and he remain like that, Allah says, فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الظَّالِمُونَ, then these people, they are zalim and they are transgressors. They are transgressors in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah will give them a punishment for what they have done. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اجْتَنِبُوا كَثِيرًا مِّنَ الظَّنِّ إِنَّ بَعْضَ الظَّنِّ إِثْمٌ وَلَا تَجَسَّسُوا وَلَا يَغْتَبْ بَعْضُكُمْ بَعْضًا أَيُحِبُّ أَحَدُكُمْ أَنْ يَأْكُلَ لَحْمَ أَخِيهِ مَيْتًا فَكَرِهْتُمُوهُ وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ إِنَّ اللَّهَ تَوَّابٌ رَّحِيمٌ. Oh, those who believe, refrain from much suspicions, avoid much suspicion. إِنَّ بَعْضَ الظَّنِّ إِثْمٌ, for certainly some suspicions are sins. وَلَا تَجَسَّسُوا, and don't spy. وَلَا يَغْتَبْ بَعْضُكُمْ بَعْضًا, and let not some of you backbite others. أَيُحِبُّ أَحَدُكُمْ, does any one of you love, أَنْ يَأْكُلَ لَحْمَ أَخِيهِ مَيْتًا, to eat the flesh of his dead brother. فَكَرِهْتُمُوهُ, surely you will dislike it. وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ, and fear Allah with respect to this. إِنَّ اللَّهَ تَوَّابٌ رَحِيمٌ, certainly Allah is oft returning, means that he is the one who will accept tawbah and repentance. رَحِيمٌ, he is most merciful. Here also, under this, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions three other prohibitions, three other things that are prohibited. One, that which is called dhan, suspicions, suspecting people to do such and such when there is no dalil, just dhan and suspicions, that you suspect such and such and you have suspicions within you. One, that is not permissible, Allah prohibits that. The other one, spying on other people. وَلَا تَجَسَّسُوا, spying, that is totally haram in Islam. And the other one, which is known as ghibat, Allah says, وَلَا يَغْتَبْ بَعْضُكُمْ بَعْضًا, and let not some of you backbite others. The third other prohibition here is backbiting. So with respect to the first ayah and this other ayah, there are six prohibitions, three went already. And here there is that which is called dhan. Dhan are of four types. There are four types. One, in Arabic, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Holy Quran, refrain from much suspicion. Refrain from much suspicion. Do not refrain from all. Refrain from much. Why? Because inna ba'da dhanni, because some of them are sins, not all of them. Some of them are sins. So therefore, the great mufassir of the Holy Quran has written his book Ahkam al-Quran, Abu Bakr al-Jassas. He says there are four types of dhan. Dhan means suspicion. To have suspicion sometimes might be haram. To have dhan. Dhan also means thoughts. Dhan, dhunun, thoughts. So to have thoughts, suspect other people, can be haram. It can be wajib. It can be mustahab, commendable. And it can also be mubah. Mubah means allowed. An example of that dhan, which is haram in Islam. One, is to have such thoughts about Allah that is not befitting the personality and the essence of Allah. For example, Allah mentions in the Holy Quran again and again that He is most merciful and forgiving. For a person to entertain such dhan, suspicion and thought about Allah, that Allah will never ever forgive me and Allah will never ever have mercy upon me, that is haram in Islam. That is haram in Islam. The hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Jabir radiallahu ta'ala says, لا يموتن أحدكم إلا وهو يحسن الظن بالله. Let not any one of you die except that he has good thoughts about Allah. That although he may have committed sins, when he's dying, let him have some good thoughts about Allah, that inshallah, I hope and I pray that Allah will forgive me. There is another hadith mentioned by Jabir radiallahu ta'ala again, where he says that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "Ana inda dhanni abdi bi, I am according to the thoughts that the servant has of me." Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala acts in accordance to that. So if the servant has the thought that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inshallah will allow this to happen and Allah will bring His mercy, then Allah looks at the thought of the servant and says, this servant has a lot of tawakkul upon me. He has a lot of i'timad and trust upon me. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows it to happen in a certain case. And sometimes the servant, he believes Allah's mercy and Allah's qudrat, and he says, that is, you know, Allah is powerful, but I don't believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can do that. So Allah will say, this is the person's thought about me, that I cannot do it. Okay, well, let me leave it right here. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that Allah himself says, أَنَا عِنْدَ ظَنِّ عَبْدِ بِي, that I am according to the what? Run, and the thoughts that the servant has of me. So that is the first one, the type of run, which is totally haram in Islam. It is totally haram in Islam. Another type of run is that dhan which is wajib. It is wajib. And that is the other type of dhan, in fact, one, an example of another dhan and suspicion which is totally haram in Islam, is to have bad thoughts about a believer when there is no evidence to lead your thought towards that direction. So for a person naturally to think that believer is a wani, a fornicator, and there is no proof and evidence, that is totally haram in Islam. To have the thought that believer is an intoxicant and there is no evidence to prove that is haram in Islam. In fact, generally speaking, to have a thought about any believer, about any wrong thing, haram sin, and there is no evidence to prove that, then that is haram in Islam. This is why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Dhunnul mu'minina khayra," always have good thoughts about a believer. Do not bring false thoughts and bad thoughts and evil thoughts about a believer, because that is haram. And it is the like of this that Allah says, "Inna ba'da dhanni ithmun," surely some of the thoughts that you have, some of the suspicions, they are sinful. Inshallah, next week we'll continue. Oh, inshallah, next week Tuesday will be Qurbani. It will be the first day, inshallah, of Qurbani. So until the week after.